your friends in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has been active in the world always. However, I want you to also know that 50 days after Easter, on the day of Pentecost, there was a radical change with the Holy Spirit, and that is continuing all the way to the end of the world. So we are part of that radical change. Let me just think something unusual here for a moment. As we think about cars today, cars, trucks, whatever you might drive, they can be pretty complex today. And is there possibly a button or two in your car that maybe you never pushed? Maybe you never knew it was there. Maybe it could do some amazing things and you just didn't know it was there. Well, today, maybe we're going to find out that, oh, I have the Holy Spirit living within me, and I want to push that Holy Spirit button because I want the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of me and make a radical change in my life. I hope you're going to see that today if the Spirit is not already very active and very powerful and very much working within you and showing on the outside of you. I hope you're going to find that button today, and I hope you're going to push it. Well, today, let me give you an overview here of where we're going. I hope you can see the logical flow of this. So today, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit prior to Pentecost. What was he doing in the Old Testament? And then we're going to look at four different promises that are pointing ahead to the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to have all this future tense in the text. It's going to say what is going to happen. It's going to say what will happen. And then we come to the actual day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is poured out. That's what we're remembering here today. And then after that, we're going to come to something different now, how after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is actually living inside of believers. But that's not the end, though. One more important step, we're going to come to the Holy Spirit causing outward changes in believers. So he gets on the inside, and then that shows on the outside in what we say and in what we do. So I hope you can see that logical flow here. We're going to try to look at some key Bible passages that will support all of that being true in Scripture. So the Spirit before Pentecost, keep in mind this key thing. So with the Holy Spirit, he was always with God's people, but he was not living in God's people until the day of Pentecost. See if you can pick that up in this section. First of all, we're going to Numbers chapter 11. This is part of today's Old Testament reading. The Bible says, Moses gathered 70 men and positioned them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses, and he took away some of the Spirit, that this is referring to the Holy Spirit, who was upon Moses, and placed that same Holy Spirit upon the 70 elders, and when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. So notice, the Spirit was not in, the Spirit was upon, but still though, the Holy Spirit was present, the Holy Spirit was at work, and the ones he was upon, they prophesied. What does that mean that they prophesied? It means they proclaimed what God wanted them to make known. I want to make an important distinction here. I think it's always a point of confusion. But when it comes to most prophecy, let's understand most prophecy is what we call forthtelling. It's kind of an unusual word, but most prophecy is forthtelling. That is proclaiming God's truth to people in the present. So if you went home today and you shared something from the Word of God with some member of your family, you would be prophesying. You would be forthtelling the Word of God, taking the very Word of God and simply speaking it to somebody else. Most people think prophecy is foretelling, That would be predicting future events. God worked through people to say what was going to happen in the future. But let's understand, though, that is the minor usage of the word prophecy. The major usage is when people like you and me are simply sharing the word of God with others. When we come to the account on Pentecost, that is what the Holy Spirit did. He was moving all of the believers to speak the word of God to others. A couple other passages here in this section. So going to the topic of Samson, we're in Judges 14. It says, a young lion came roaring toward Samson. What happened? The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him so that Samson took that young lion and he tore it apart. So he was given this great power. The Holy Spirit did not come in him, but it rushed upon him, and he had this amazing strength. And then we come to the topic of Samuel with David here. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David to be the next king of Israel. What happened? The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. So again, he did not come into him, but he came upon him, and the Holy Spirit was instrumental then in keeping David focused on the Lord, keeping him obedient to the Lord, and then when he became king, in order to bless his reign as king. In the second section here, we're going to look at promises that are pointing to the day of Pentecost. So we have some here in the Old Testament. So in Ezekiel 36, I want to set this up before I read what it says. So notice when I read this, it's going to talk about God working changes on the inside. So that would be God working repentance within us. What happens after that? The Spirit comes and dwells within us. And then what happens on the outside? Now we're living in obedience to the Word of God. These are natural and normal things as Christians living in the New Testament era. Now, this is in the Old Testament, but again, it's pointing to what will happen on the day of Pentecost and going forward. Notice what it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and bring it about that you walk in my statutes and are careful and follow my ordinances. I hope you can see those things in your own lives. I hope you know that the Spirit has worked through the Word of God within you. I hope you know that the Spirit is living within you. And I hope the Spirit is prompting you in order to grow in the Bible and live in obedience to what the Bible says. Again, these are natural and normal things according to the Bible. However, though, we have a whole bunch of people in the world today that call themselves Christians, and they know none of that. So they are living as if they do not have the Spirit within them. Let's understand when we have Him, He is going to make a radical difference in our lives. A few other ones here. Looking at Joel chapter 2. Now, Joel chapter 2 here, this is what Peter includes in the sermon that he preaches on Pentecost. So what we're looking at is we're looking at Joel chapter 2, and this is pointing ahead to the day of Pentecost. Peter brings it up again, but let's see what Joel wrote. Notice all the future tenses. I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. When we think about what Joel has identified here with the different people groups, keep in mind that in the Old Testament, primarily it was prophets and it was kings who had the Holy Spirit upon them. But what is he saying, though? He's saying when we come to the day of Pentecost and beyond, then every believer will have the Holy Spirit within. Hey, we're living in that day and age. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit within. Let's not miss that. And then we come to part of today's gospel reading. We're in John chapter 7 here. And the Bible says, on the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he said in reference to the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given. Keep in mind, Jesus is saying this during his ministry. He has not yet died for our sins. He has not yet been raised. He has not yet ascended. But he's talking about what is coming on the day of Pentecost. And then one final one in this section. So we're in Acts chapter 1. So this is a section where we have Jesus having a brief conversation with his disciples prior to him ascending into heaven. So that happened 40 days after Easter. The day of Pentecost comes 10 days later. The Bible says, Jesus commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You have heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." As we think about batteries powering a flashlight, or maybe a bigger battery powering a cordless drill, or maybe even electricity powering a vacuum cleaner, do you think the Holy Spirit might be more powerful than batteries or electricity? Let's be convinced of that. The Holy Spirit, he is the third person of the Holy Trinity. Let's not cut him short. Let's be amazed that he would come and dwell within you and me. I'm saying it because the Bible says it. I'm even like overwhelmed to think about that reality. God wants us to be amazed. And then we come to the day of Pentecost itself. The key passage here is in Acts chapter 2. We have a little bit of it I'm going to read. "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with different tongues, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out." So the Holy Spirit had been with the believers, and then on the day of Pentecost and going forward, he came to live within the believers. And why did he come to live within them? In order to give them the power now to speak out the very word of God. So I'm wondering, for all of us, how and to whom is the Lord calling us to speak out? I'm sure that all of us know at least one person who does not know the saving truth, a person who is not aware of the serious nature of his sins, a person who is not aware of how much God loves us, a person not aware of really who Jesus is, the very Son of God, and what he did, living a perfect life in our place, taking our punishment for our sins, and now being risen, ascended, and reigning, and offering forgiveness to all people through repentance. Most people don't know that stuff. God has enabled us to know, and he has given us the Spirit, so God is wanting us to take that in a most serious way, to think about it, to pray about it, that the Holy Spirit would lay even one person on our hearts and minds, and we would begin praying for that person, and we would begin praying for an opportunity in order to speak the word to that person, and then the Holy Spirit would show us what we're going to say. Are we going to share maybe a little card with them that has an important message from God? Are we going to share a brochure with them? Are we going to share maybe a key verse that we memorized? What is it going to be? So we're getting all prepared, and when the opportunity comes, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to seize that opportunity. May God help us to do that in a most serious way. And then coming to the fourth part, so the Spirit living in believers. So I emphasized earlier that he was upon them. Now we want to see how he's living in those who believe. So we're in Romans chapter 8, a very important chapter in the entire Bible. Romans 8, it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But then it goes on to say, though, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what is he going to do? He will also give life to your mortal bodies. It's a little bit difficult to understand in a sense, but think about it like this. Resurrection to life is coming for all who know Jesus, and anyone who knows Jesus, they automatically have the Holy Spirit. Now, there are places in the Bible that says that when Jesus comes, he is the one who is going to raise us to life. But here, though, it is saying that it's going to be both Jesus and the Holy Spirit who are going to raise us to life. Maybe a more important passage here is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? I want you to know here that body and temple are in the singular. So it's talking about each and every one of us. Our bodies are a temple. And as believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit is dwelling within our bodies, within each of our bodies, which is a temple. Isn't that kind of a sobering thought? Sometimes we're like, oh, I'm away from the church, I'm out in the world, I'm doing whatever. Oh, when I come to church, I better talk differently, I better behave differently. Well, no, the Spirit of God is with us all the time. So we shouldn't be different here. We should be different in every aspect of our lives. So let me start over with the reading. It goes a little bit further. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Wasn't the price like super expensive? We see the cost right here. Thinking about who Jesus is, thinking about what he endured in putting on flesh, living in this fallen world all those years, and then taking our sin, taking our eternal punishment. It's kind of overwhelming that God would do that for you and me. But what is that saying, though? That is saying that you and me, we are so valuable to God that he was willing to do this for us. Like we should be overwhelmed by that. So God has bought us with a great price. So what does it say then? Our response then, it says, therefore glorify God in your body. So God has gone like to the nth degree for us. He wants us to know that. He wants us to rejoice in that, to be overwhelmed by that. And then he wants us to go in a very strong direction in our lives in order to glorify him. So let's remember that the Holy Spirit is with us, and he will give us that power to live unto God's glory. Well, that's really what this final part is about then, the Holy Spirit causing outward changes in believers. So first of all, he leads us to repentance, and then he comes and lives within us, and then the changes are shown on the outside. The first passage in this section, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote, "No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord in a real, true, genuine way. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." I hope you're already aware of the Spirit at work in you. Maybe you need to push the nitrous oxide button. Now, that was a thing decades ago in your car. If you had a car that was a regular car and you put nitrous oxide and you piped it into your carburetor and you pushed that button, boy, your car went a whole lot faster. So maybe there's some kind of a nitrous oxide button that we haven't pushed yet, and boy, is that ever going to engage the Holy Spirit in a whole new way, and that's going to make a huge difference in our lives. May God help us to find that button and to push it. We can't hardly do this section without touching on the fruit of the Spirit. So when we have the Spirit living within us, he's going to show on the outside in various ways. If you have a healthy apple tree, what is it going to show? It's going to show some nice apples that are edible. So when we have the Holy Spirit in, it's going to show on the outside. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are things that God wants us to grow into more and more and more. And then it goes on and says, against such things, there is no law. So we can live in all these ways and no one's going to say, oh, you stop loving already. We're tired of your loving of other people. Stop that. No, there's no law against such things. And then it says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then really important here at the end, if we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit as well. So if we are spiritually alive and the Spirit is living inside of us, then we should definitely be going in that direction in order to live by the Spirit. The final passage here in the sermon today, 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power and love and discipline. So as people who have the Holy Spirit isn't making us shy, but rather it's doing the opposite. Instead, he gives us courage to speak, and the Holy Spirit is also giving us love for the salvation of others. So we love people in all kinds of different ways. We see somebody who is hungry and we love them by giving them food to eat. We see someone who is naked and we love them by giving them clothes to wear. But what is the greatest way to show love for someone? Oh, here's a person who does not know Jesus, and that person is on a course of being lost forever, being apart from God forever, being without the blessings of God forever. The greatest way we can love that person is to share the saving truth of God with that person. There's nothing we can do to grab a hold of that person and save that person, but we can, though, keep sharing the truth of God with that person. Do we do it in a mean way? No, the Bible says, speak the truth in love. But let's do that. May God fill us with the Holy Spirit. May he fill us with courage, and may he help us to truly speak the truth in love. Does that mean people are going to receive it in love? Not necessarily, but let's always have our hearts right Let's speak it in love, and let's pray that God would work through his word in order to make a positive, eternal difference in the lives of others. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, thank you so much for living in us and blessing us in many ways. Help us each moment of each day to perceive your presence in us, to understand your leading within us, to be aware of your power within us, and then help us to respond with courage. Help us to respond by speaking the truth in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.